I'll call the meeting to order. Hopefully others will arrive and get started. That's okay with that. And first agenda item is public comment. Here's the public right here. Have anything to comment you want to get from?
Anything to add, Oscar? Still think about it.
Think about it, okay. Approval of the minutes, March 7th, which I understand are not completed yet, so we're going to have to put them off for another meeting. Agenda review. If you look below what we're going to be talking about tonight, if you see anything that should be different, should be corrected or added to, now would be a good time to bring that up.
I was just talking to Linda. I'd love to have 5 minutes to talk about my participation in next week's passenger rail community advisory meeting so that I take whatever message we decide onto that meeting.
And Steve, I just have one small announcement.
All right. I guess we could do that at the end of the meeting. So the announcements.
Doesn't matter to me, whatever the committee wants.
Yeah. And I have one too, but mine will just take a couple minutes.
Agenda review.
Okay.
Do you have any?
Good morning again, or good evening again.
Okay. Next, our first agenda item, discussion, committee work plan. In addition to the committee's role as planning advisory committee, how can the committee help implement the downtown plan?
I'm going to make a suggestion that we maybe move the agenda item lower down on the list because maybe a few more people might still trickle in. I don't know, what does the committee think about that? We could do the passenger rail announcement.
Yeah.
We could even do the historic commission or whatever your announcement was.
Oh, yeah, it's related to something.
Why don't we go ahead? I would suggest that we consider going ahead first and then. I don't know if you want to talk about work plan first, and then the other item for tonight really is to get into the nuts and bolts of the committee, the new committee organization that we talked about at our last meeting, which would be maybe considering some other positions to try and recruit for. So I think it's your preference. You can see people are going to be pulling in. Preference for order.
And then we'll do the rail.
Yeah, it's really as simple as I'm sitting on a one-time committee next week whose job it is to give input on different routes for improved passenger rail between Portland and Eugene. It is not high-speed rail, but it's potentially a footprint for high-speed rail. And given that there was some longitudinal thinking about high-speed rail and Springfield in the plan that we adopted, I wanted to be sure that I was on message in showing up at that committee and saying that Springfield would be very interested in potentially being a terminus station. It looks like two of the routes, the map they gave us was lacking detail. but that there are routes that go on maybe either side of I-5 and that in two of the cases it may make sense to have Springfield either be a station or an endpoint. So I just wanted to be sure that I was saying the right thing if I said we would be enthused by the idea of being a part of that. Does that sound right?
You said station. That implies that it's going to be a longer route.
Well, I don't have a lot of information yet. I think they're planning to give us a fair amount of information.
No, we've had considerable discussion about trying to get Eugene to take the Springfield.
Right.
As being the end of the line.
And that's...
I'm really strong.
Okay.
Heard that.
And I figured as much. I just wanted to say, hey, folks, this is what I'm going to be saying, so stop me if I'm wrong. Okay?
It's a good idea.
I think it's awesome that you've agreed to serve on that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I'm happy to do it. It's been a little mysterious so far about exactly what they're going to be having us do, so I will report back to the group.
Great.
Well, somebody back east... Or was it Washington gave up a whole bunch of money that was allotted to that?
Florida.
To that. Was it Florida?
Florida gave up a bunch of money.
And, it would be nice if we got it here, but I think that's a long shot. And you had something.
Yeah, at our last historic commission meeting, a gentleman by the name of Rick Denovan He's the vice chair of the Springfield Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and he mentioned that the Main Street organization is currently seeking more members for their organizational committee. So I told him I'd pass the word to this group, and I also told him we are looking for people, too. So anybody interested in being on the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee, Advisory Committee, or the Main Streets Organizational Committee, you can contact him, and he can forward the information. It'd be rick@wheelburrow.com, wheel spelled like W-H-E-E-L, burrow, B-U-R-R-O.com.
It's Rick. Who are you?
Not arrow.
Burrow,
not arrow.
Yeah.
Burrow.
You're sitting in, but I'd like to hear more about you.
Why don't you come sit at the table?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, we got room.
Okay.
Hey, Abigail, if you could just say your name, because Judy, you guys that got here late, Judy Castleman's helping us tonight with the meeting notes.
Okay.
And she doesn't know you guys, so if you could tilt your nameplates towards her so she can write down. And you don't have one, so.
I don't, but I can give you the spelling later, because it's sort of it's a long name. But my name's Abigail Foriamwa, and I am an employee of NEDCO. I started there as an AmeriCorps VISTA volunteer last year, and when I was done with my VISTA year, I got hired on as a program development coordinator, which encompasses a lot of different things. I work within all our different programs, sort of making sure we're all talking together and working together, and then overseeing a lot of different projects there. And now, starting in June, I'm moving into our Main Street program administrator position, which I'm really excited about. I have an MA in urban planning and community development, so it's definitely going to help me utilize that a lot, and I'm looking forward to all the new projects that we can start for Main Street. So, and I'm just happy to be here. Get to know
you. Exciting news. Yeah. So actually,
OFORI-AMOAH.
And that was nice of Rick to volunteer that for the Main Street. But everything's going to start to get funneled through you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and we're always looking for members for all committees.
Yeah, especially organizations been the tough one.
Would you be joining this group?
Sure, yeah, I would love to if that's available.
What we're talking about.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight.
Okay.
We're going to talk about
committee
positions.
Great.
And vacancies on the committees.
Okay.
You have energy, I can tell. So, do we want to, we have a... First agenda is discussion of committee work plan, or we go down to discussion of new committee organization. Which one would we like to do first?
Let me do the organization get out of the way, huh?
Okay. Well, I don't know if you guys, do you guys pick up the handouts? Everyone should have a copy of the current committee roster, because it also shows... what positions that we currently have on our committee, like who's filling what position, general public, whatever. And those positions were, back when we did the urban renewal plan and the downtown urban renewal advisory committee was appointed by the city council, those were the categories on the committee that were recommended at that time. And I know we've had a couple of discussions about, you know, turnover on the committee. We have two vacancies right now, and typically our process is we don't recruit for new members until we get two. So we're ready to recruit new members, and we're kind of in a transition time because John Thomas stepped down as chair at the last meeting. And at the last meeting, we had some discussion about potentially thinking of other categories of people that we would like to try and attract to the committee, given the work that you are going to be talking about wanting to do in your next agenda item. Let's just have an open discussion about what you think those should be.
Well, I was appointed or elected co-chair back at the beginning, and you may want to revisit that. That's okay with me, but I'm willing to continue on. So we'll leave that. You can fire me if you want.
Linda, I'm not sure this is correct for me. I think I was brought on as area resident representative. And
is that what it says on your...
It does here.
Yeah,
I definitely don't own a business. Or I'm not a runner either.
Okay. So you're a general public. I mean, some of these have morphed into other positions. I thought I had the most recent list here, but maybe I don't.
Well, I originally came on as general public, and then I just morphed into this.
Right.
So I think that NEDCO and having Abigail here, because NEDCO's always participated as far as being involved in so many of what we talk about here overlaps with what we're doing, and then Ted's on the board, he's chair of the board there, and with Abigail coming on as a Main Street coordinator, I think that's a natural fit. And but I don't know what category, if that has to go into a specific category.
Well, we would be creating new categories.
We could add categories.
Feel that we need. So let's just continue to discuss what those might be. I mean, we might want to consider, too, about the size of the committee. I brought my notes from the Glenwood Citizen Advisory Committee because, in my opinion, they had a really great mix of people on that committee. It was a fairly big committee. But just to give you an idea of the composition of that committee to see maybe where you might have gaps that you might want to consider. For this committee, we had 4 Glenwood residents. We had 3 Glenwood business owners / property owners, which I think we have kind of a deficiency on this committee of business owners and property owners. We had 3 Glenwood employees. We had 2 general public. So instead of 4, we had 2. We had 2 developers. We had 2 realtors or lenders. And my understanding is that was one of the harder categories to recruit for, but that it really did add value to the discussion. And we had 2 designers, which I think really added a lot of value to that process. And where we are with the downtown work is we're going to be moving more and more into implementation. We're going to be working on code back into the design and development standards, and I think I would suggest that you really consider maybe having a recruitment for design professionals. Chamber of Commerce, 1, and Affordable Housing Advocate, 1. And I just talked to Molly. She was the ringleader for this committee, and she put together the public health plan a couple years ago, and I just asked her if she thought still that, did that work out pretty well, that mix of people, and we all agreed that we thought that was a really good group. So I just brought that for your information. You may have other things. We have vacancy for the school district spot that we mentioned last time. I think it's really been awesome to have the Willam Lane, especially having Bob. Hopefully he is willing to continue.
I'm going to be here for a while.
Yeah. And then Dan, I'm not sure why he hasn't been coming from the chamber. Has anybody talked to Dan about this?
I just got to have a meeting with Dan, and I just don't know if he just has other things going on.
Yeah.
I don't think he had it on his agenda.
He used to be a regular attendee, and I've had a couple of email communications, and I haven't heard back from him. So maybe he changed his email address? Does anybody
know? Would you like me to talk to him?
That would be awesome.
If you send anything from him to him from the city with an attachment, it basically doesn't go.
Yeah.
So if you included an agenda, for example, he wouldn't have received it.
Okay. Well, I always include the text of the agenda in the body of the email, too. So.
But if it has an attachment.
That would work.
The whole thing.
If it's not an attachment, it usually gets through.
Linda,
just a quick point of clarification.
Thanks.
Is John off the committee altogether or just stepping down as chair?
He is off, I believe.
Okay. So that's a...
Yeah. So that's vacant.
Linda, I have a comment. I definitely think a realtor or a developer would be a really strong person to have a board, just because we're seeing that different side of it.
Right.
Not that I often agree with them.
Sure.
But, just to have their input. But also, I don't know the makeup of the general public, the people that are representing the general public. Do we have representation of most of the neighborhood communities? I know John Tuttle is with the Washburn District, neighborhood district, but I'm thinking the other neighborhoods, because oftentimes I don't think the residents have enough voice when it comes to committees, but to give them the option. And I know they're harder to recruit, but, you know, they're oftentimes the ones that are going to be frequenting the businesses, frequenting the services downtown. So just...
Well, I really think it's great having Karen on the committee and to have another business owner, even if it's not a developer, but at least another business owner that has a real stake in what's happening downtown, understands the clientele that's coming in downtown, clientele meaning customers and the people that are really down here. And maybe it's not even, when we talk about the school district, it may be that we want somebody from A3 or Gateways where they're right here versus... somewhere else, because where's the impact? It's here. So having some of that, but I would like to see, you know, somebody, another business owner. Karen does a great job, but to have another one down here would be great.
We really haven't had another business owner.
No, we really haven't.
Contact the school district or Joe directly
down
here.
Yeah, we had
Shannon. That's right, Shannon.
And then we also, and Shannon's still on the committee. He's just not a downtown business owner.
Right,
his business is in Gateway Mall, but he provides a great perspective, I think, on retailing. And we also used to have the Springfield Cleaners. What's her name?
Right.
She was on the original committee.
Right.
And then had to resign, so...
Wow, it would be, it's so hard to get people to commit, and it doesn't meet that often, you know.
And I think that's where we have to have a plan, because what are we going to be doing? And if we can say, we can sell a vision, we're trying to do this, then other people are going to go on. If we're going to sort of just come and meet and talk nebulous stuff, you know, they don't have time for that.
Right.
Bureaucrats like me have time for that because that's part of our world. But people that are trying to get something done and they're trying to run their business, it's a little bit different. You would feel like you're wasting your time if we weren't moving towards something.
Right.
Or you didn't have hope that we were moving towards something.
And I think, you know, there are people out there that just want to be a part of something we're doing in downtown Springfield, and they're really excited about it. People from outside. And I've had a couple people ask me about the committees. I've had an engineering person that works over at Branch Engineering express interest. A landscape architect that I talked to in another matter mentioned it. So you would need to recruit them and have them serve. I mean, I did a couple of these people I have invited, because I have an invite list to this meeting that's beyond the committee membership. And you know, some of those people that typically come, some of them are architects and developers. They will come from time to time if the topics are of interest to them.
Wouldn't Ted's role as a designer, couldn't that cover that part?
Yeah, but I think breadth, to some level, breadth's important. But I think another thing that's really happened is we're sort of in the third reiteration of this committee. Mm-hmm. At first, it was sort of plan development. Mm-hmm. And then, well, at first, it was urban renewal and sort of the formative input into the formation of that. Then it was sort of the document development and the input side of document development. And both those ships are out to sea, I think. I don't know where your ship is, but I know where your ship is.
And implementation.
Yeah, so now we're in this very different phase, and I guess I sort of feel like the makeup of the committee should respond to the current tasks at hand. Like I say, breadth is good. But I think now we're in the phase where we're going to, as a committee, adopt two or three things to get done. And one of those things might require a lot of design input. Mm-hmm. Another one of those things might require soliciting a lot of local business and property owners, or the folks that never show up for whatever reason. But, you know, those sorts of downtown people. And I guess I'd like to see the committee realize that 6 months from now we might need two or three very different people from the people that we just recruited this month and respond that way. And the other thing I've lost track of a little bit is how much we feel like we need to report to the city council and give them updates in some sort of formal way, even if they're just updates, not necessarily any action item spinning off of it as far as they're concerned, but is part of our role continuing just to update the city council. And if that's true, I think that's something to take very, very seriously, because NEDCO and other groups are obviously doing, you know, Main Street, you know, can be seen somewhat as independent of NEDCO. Lots of different groups are doing lots of different things, and this committee could sort of play the role of the sounding board for a lot of those different things to make sure that the city council heard about it.
I can tell you, I had a discussion with Gino, the city manager, last week about the committees, and he let me know that he wants the code development that's in our horizon that we haven't been working on because we just haven't had the time to do it. We haven't been meeting frequently enough. Is that he really wants to push that forward. Right now, we're kind of weak on the planning staff side of that, but we're going to figure out a way to get it done. And he also expressed to me that he really wants that to be a city, you know, authorized process, which would be this committee. So it's not another committee that's going to kind of fill that gap. So that's the latest that I've heard from him about how he wants that work to get done.
So that's a lot of heavy lifting for this mm-hmm. committee. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to recruit, I think that's where we recruit. Mm-hmm. As much as the other work items we have down here as possibilities are interesting and valid and all of that, committee for lighting solutions or plaza design might take 3 people. Mm-hmm. Code development is going to take 5. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, and it's going to be a grind. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a lot of FaceTime or email time with staff. Yeah. And I think we need some bodies that are solely making sure that gets done. And
yeah.
then the ones that are motivated on the bike structure or downtown lighting or whatever else can work kind of independently of the code development side of things. Does that sound
I don't
accurate?
Think the code development's going to be happening like instantaneously. Mm-hmm. It still might be a couple of months before we really fully launch that, given the other things that we're doing right now. But I'm just trying to kind of think maybe a year, even 2 years out, so you can start to visualize the kind of things that we'd be doing.
But I think that would lend itself towards recruiting even more folks with design and code backgrounds mm-hmm. onto the committee.
Especially the engineer from Branch. And then is the landscape architect, is that Rob Dowdy or?
Dowdy.
Doherty?
He expressed an interest.
Michael Doherty.
Is that
Dave.
His name?
Dave
Doherty. Because he's...
I mean, I invited him to this meeting. I thought maybe he'd show up. So.
Oh, I'm surprised. Because he's really interested in...
He's really engaged.
In,
he came to the Charette.
Yeah.
The downtown Charette.
And he's really... he's a real advocate of the Main Street program. And I don't know if you know him or not, but he just likes downtown Springfield mm-hmm. and wants to help where he can. So
he designs streetscape.
Yeah.
So, you know.
The visionary.
What about Rick Satry? Has anybody talked to Rick Satry? I may have talked to him. I don't know
if and when we recruit, we wouldn't be recruiting specific people. We would be recruiting categories of people, and it would be an open process where people can apply. I mean, the some of the appointments, like the Historic Commission liaison, that one just goes to Historic Commission, and then they decide who wants to apply for that. But these other positions, they're going to be advertised in the newspaper, and so it's going to be an open recruitment to see who we might get. And then typically they're interviewed by the council before they're appointed.
What categories should we be adding to this?
Developers, realtors, and designers.
Yeah.
Business owners. Residents, if you want more than.
What about Washburn District residents?
Well, Julie, who came to the last meeting,
we have John
Washburn, is very interested in joining. I know she's planning to apply when we advertise.
And she's a
resident? Washburn resident, 3-year Washburn resident.
I'm also wondering about the U of O, because it's such a great resource. We could tap into their 3 p.m. program, or, you know, they have wonderful departments, and whether it's a master's candidate student or a professor or an assistant professor, I mean, it just seems to not include and have that, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. We had, on the Glenwood CAC, we had one of our designers was a U of O landscape architecture professor, Roxy Thorne. And it was awesome to have her.
I'd be more interested in faculty than students just because they're so mobile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're usually involved in a lot of big projects.
Yeah, don't discount them. Some of them end up being long-term employees.
Yeah, that's true.
Get them out of here.
Or they may be needing a big project to target.
Yeah.
I really want to make sure that we have people that are committed to Springfield.
Sure.
You know, sometimes it has to be the right student. And so
definitely.
You don't want to discount that. But
right.
If I was sitting on the city council, I would certainly want to make sure that that person has passion for Springfield. We just sat through a Team Springfield meeting yesterday, and one of the things that we're really talking about with the Team Springfield elected officials is this whole branding of Springfield. And, you know, we have to get away from being Eugene's little sister, you know, type of thing, and really brag about what we're doing. And so when we get people in committees, we need those people to have that passion for Springfield. So I would be looking for that. It doesn't matter if they're from the U of O or not. It's just that they need to have that passion for this. And it's just not another community project. It is, boy, I really want to see something happen in downtown Springfield. So.
Really good point.
So the professor idea is more, I think, more in alignment for staff.
So, Carrie, when you talked about other neighborhoods, did you mean kind of other neighborhoods in the city?
Yeah, in the surrounding area that would typically walk downtown to frequent a restaurant that have been here for a while. I'm thinking over by the Island Park area or,
I've got Willamette Heights covered, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Yeah. I mean, we could just expand that to, say, downtown neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Or something like residential that.
Residential neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they could be renters, I guess, mm-hmm. but more more homeowners are likely to have more invested, mm-hmm. I think, in the community.
Right. Then. And then general public, you still could have anybody from Thurston or wherever in Springfield that has an interest in downtown.
Too. Right.
We have this little boundary that's on our package from that. This is left over from Urban Renewal, which is the Urban Renewal boundary.
Yeah, Courtney made those.
Yep.
Which I don't think, I don't know if we want to be rigid like that when we talk about neighborhood representatives.
No.
I don't feel like
it. So what about size of committee? I mean, think about this room and think about how it feels to meet in here versus meeting in that other room or another larger room. Do you want to try to keep the group to a certain size, or
how many total were on the Glenwood advisory?
It was big. It was a library meeting room full bore. You know, all the seats full.
I don't want to go much bigger than what we were originally. I think that
12 to 16.
It was like 20 people.
We have 13 if every position was filled right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went to 15, I think what happens is some people don't get as much communication going on. They don't work well in a big group like that.
Yeah.
Or you have so much going on, you never get through your agenda.
Mm-hmm. Or too many decision makers.
I'm on a lot of committees with type A personalities, and it's really hard to get anything done.
Yeah.
And that's what you have when you have people with passion, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would like to see it 15
about
or less.
15.
Because you could do that here if you had to.
You could always add it. If you got a position or something, you could add on something later on if you need it.
Yeah.
Or people drop out.
You have a rare meeting when everybody shows up.
Yeah.
Well, and the other part is that if you've got people that are going to be active and interested in things, they tend to be busy with a lot of other things. So you want to make sure that if there's turnover that you can substitute. So it'd be good to get a broad range. I think you've counted out five categories you want to add people to. So you might have some of them as alternates. So if they want to sit in, please sit in, because if someone leaves, we'd like to be able to fill that position right away.
I have a process.
They may still be involved with what the committee work is.
Linda, or I guess the group, are we replacing our chair before recruitment or after recruitment?
I would suggest you wait.
Okay, I was actually leaning in that. I mean,
and just kind of see how you feel about it, because, I mean, you could, right now you have a vice chair, and he can kind of run the meeting and do whatever authorities that the chair would have done.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have anything where we need letters written from the committee or anything right now. But that's up to you. But I would recommend that we wait and do a larger recruitment. It doesn't have to be immediately. It could be within the next month. It could be in 2 months. The next step would be to create a roster again and start plugging in what those positions could be. And if a committee member wants to volunteer to do that, to try to figure out what 15 positions would be, they could email it out to everybody, mm-hmm. or just bring it back to our next meeting.
Okay.
depending on how quickly you wanted to act on this. I don't see that we're in any rush mode.
Only have room for two more. I mean, you've got about five people you would add here, and Abigail mm-hmm. would be one of those, so
right.
that's down to four.
Mm-hmm.
Four new people up from the committee that's there now if you went to 15.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you want in those other four? Do you want general public? Do you want business owners downtown? What do you
got
want?
A lot of general public.
Designers. Realtor and or developer, or just realtor?
I think realtor or developer.
Yeah, big difference between.
You think one would be enough of those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Abigail, you could probably represent also because you're in with the NETCO. You're in contact with business all the time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so you have that feel. So maybe
business
we don't have to add that other business mm-hmm. owner
okay.
now that I said that earlier.
That's
but
true.
Just thinking about it is you have that contact it,
mm-hmm.
all
mm-hmm.
the time and can probably help represent that with Karen
yeah.
in the downtown.
And with if Dan Egan is also
yeah, on, and Dan's here.
Then that's another representative.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need a recommitment from Dan, because, and I think we need to go over ground
yeah.
rules, and it's got to be something about, you know, three times you miss and you're out or something, because I just think if you're going to have 15 people, you really need a commitment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
that's
I'm wondering
my two cents
if,
on that.
If Dan can't make the commitment, Jeff Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah, is the new community person, and maybe he would do it. And he's a Springfield resident too,
mm-hmm.
so and he's getting himself really involved
yeah.
in things. So he
mm-hmm. at the chamber?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said he's a downtown resident?
He's what's his position? Community development or something?
No,
whatever McHale's he took
yeah,
over McHale's
or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's also the museum.
Oh, Jim Couples,
name.
Man,
Couples.
He would be.
Yeah.
He's got design background, too.
Mm-hmm.
Jim would be awesome. I mean, that guy is just flying off the walls. He's so excited about what he's doing.
Yeah. He is.
We're talking about individuals, but we're going to have categories. We're going to have
yeah.
to
oh, right.
Right, right, right.
To apply for those. In this
yeah. doesn't mean
later.
We can't.
Yeah.
So, you know, nudge, there's this advertisement, but.
Right, we can recruit, and doesn't
yeah,
mean we have to select.
Right.
I mean, they have to be
yeah.
selected, so
how does
you
that,
might not get all those.
How does the advertisement go out? Does it, what it, is it electronic? How does it get submitted? Do you think
it goes
on our website. It's in an ad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's we let the newspapers know that it's open, so it's published in the probably in the Times and the RG.
Okay.
Might even end up in the Weekly.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we would let this committee know, so if you want to tell somebody about
word of mouth.
Yeah,
about
absolutely.
It, we can do an email blast, and I have email lists of people that have expressed interest
okay.
in downtown in the past. There's always 10 or so that come back, emails come
yeah.
back.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had other people, like the Ninewood business,
yes.
you know, we've had other people kind of come and go with interest over the years, so. We'll
do we want to target a time out there where that to be done, so the selection to be done, happening.
Well, I'd like us to finalize the recommendations of the categories, the four, you know, in the people that we want. If there's three additional categories we want, make sure we got that. And I would like to see us get people on if we want to
yeah.
continue
mm-hmm.
this committee to work toward it and get them going.
Right.
So that
get
we,
yeah.
But it looks like we have
yeah.
a work project already from what you're saying.
We do, yeah. And I think typically we leave it open for about 2 weeks to let people submit,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
and then they have to go through the process.
We
the sooner we start, the better.
Yeah. Once we've got the list, then it's going to go on the council, probably in a work session. So we have to find a slot
mm-hmm.
for that, you know, late May or
yeah.
June.
So Steve, do you have in mind, after listening to everybody, the categories that we're thinking about? Folks?
Yeah, she's got her idea. She's written them all down.
I've got them all. I've got
designer.
I have NEDCO, sure. And again, this has to be approved
yeah.
by our CCI, so but I can get that on the CCI agenda.
I think we should have a representative from NEDCO. I think
real
we should
quick.
Make that recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
right.
everyone
yeah.
would agree to that.
They're
everybody's
so involved in downtown, they just need to be there.
Do you know
right.
anybody that might apply?
Not off the top of my head.
Like the Historic Commission where they just
yeah.
send somebody?
Yeah. Yeah, they pick whoever.
Okay, all right.
Pick
and then are we going to have a way to ask Springfield School District if we continue to include them to tailor that to be somebody invested in downtown?
You know, we could we could just walk down to the three schools and just say, would you be interested in doing this on, we're meeting, what, bi-monthly, roughly, or a couple hours, if they're interested in that.
I would do that with you if you want to.
Because there's one of the newer professors down here, there's at least one at this school, the old A3, and then at Gateways, there was one that was very interested in what was going on down there.
We need to do that quickly because it's going to be out.
Yeah.
Is someone volunteering to do that? Because I want it in the minutes.
Well, he and I were just talking.
You guys?
Yeah, please do it.
And John. Steve and John. Okay, great. And then I have Realtor Developer 1, Designers, how many? One? Two?
I think we had two.
Two would be good. We need at least two people to counterbalance Ted's.
And then one more neighbor.
What about
area resident?
Area resident.
Area resident.
So that way it's.
Well, what about, are we going to do designer, landscape architect, and engineer kind of as one?
Design professional.
I think you
design
leave
professional.
Design professional.
Design professional.
I asked Molly about that, and she said they wanted to leave it open to people that maybe not, they're not licensed architect or something, but they're, skilled. So I thought designer was more open.
It is more open.
Okay. One area, so that's four new plus the NEDCO rep. Okay? Does that sound good? And then Robin Sattler, has anybody seen her? She hasn't been attending any meetings. Usually she lets me know, and I didn't check email, so she may have emailed me.
She was at the block grant committee.
She was.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, because she was our community development advisory committee liaison, and then Karen's also on that committee, so we have two of those right now.
Well, having one's important.
One is important to keep on there. Okay. Well,
I think it might be good for you to make a phone call to Robin and see if she wants to continue.
Yeah, I'm just going
to. I mean, that's just all that needs to happen.
That's a city.
When she was here, she's very well spoken and involved, has good insights.
Yeah. Well, it's done for the year, and I had to miss it.
Okay.
Okay, I want to move up to committee
you.
Work plan.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to let you run this item, but I'm going to just be the scribe. So we started last month talking about what the committee wants to be working on. So what did you have in mind? And let's be more specific about what you want to do.
Can you first tell me what Gina wants us to do?
Yeah.
I want to understand what the city manager wants
us to
do.
Well, we didn't talk specifically about this particular thing, but what he confirmed with me is that he doesn't want the code design standards piece being given like to NEDCO design committee or something like that, because the Main Street Design Committee worked on design standards for the plot improvement program, and they did. I was part of that. Karen and Ted and Abigail, I thought, did a great job with that, but we never had the graphic piece that was supposed to go with that because one of our former design committee members, Natalie, was going to do that for us, and then she got a job and went away. So we never got that graphic part of that done. And we also need to move forward our code work, but it's not on our planning work program until next year. So what I heard from Gino, that he really wants this committee to do that. Or to,
when you say next year, are you talking about January or are you talking about July?
I'm talking about early 2014.
Okay, so we have a period. We have almost
a
year.
But Gino may say, that's not soon enough. I want you to start next month or whatever. Or the mayor is going to say, go do it. And my boss, Lynn, is in negotiations to try to figure out how we're going to staff or something like that. So, anyway,
I just... Look at me. Which means you're looking for money.
I just want this committee to be aware that I think that item could get fast-tracked.
Yeah.
And it could.
And it doesn't mean that's going to be the only thing you're working on, but it's going to be a lot of review and participation in what those standards are. And you've already done so much work with the Crandall Rambula team, and with the Rick Williams parking team to lay all the groundwork for that. So it's just a matter really of putting it into policy statements and putting it into regulatory code language that our code staff that's really good at can do.
What are our dreams for downtown that are achievable?
Yeah, and then the other thing is that we really want to see, you know, the mayor especially really wants to see things happen in the short term, because all these other wonderful things that are in the downtown urban design plan, like the plaza and, you know, the long-term things, it's going to be a while before any of those can happen. So lighting has been at the top of everyone's list, so how can we do some kind of a lighting initiative? So I think for the short term, that's really what the committee is invited to participate in.
That's what I was hoping, because that's, as we all know, I mean, that's still the number one issue that comes up downtown is lighting.
I think in 12 months we did lighting and code and got two-thirds of both of those done. That would be a huge achievement.
Well, lighting and parking, because you know what? Parking is becoming a problem, which is a good thing.
Yep.
You know?
A couple of updates, if I could.
Sure.
The signs have been completed. The post holes have been drilled. They'll be installed on the ground in the next several weeks. They'll be starting to go up. And then Courtney will follow up with, once they're installed, follow up with enforcement, some kind of an enforcement program. So it'll probably be a while. It'll be a soft launch to the 2-hour maximum for the most part everywhere. And they won't be the little hockey sticks that designate where the spaces are, from what I understand. They're just what's on the ground will eventually wear away until we get to the point where you have more funds or something else says, here's how we'll designate the spaces. So it'll be a little loosey-goosey for a while, but then we'll start the enforcement piece after that.
Are there funds for the enforcement piece?
No, and so that's one of the drawbacks with this whole thing, is that as we look at how the funds will be, how it'll be enforced, that's one of the issues. We have a limited amount of money. We're not sure we can do anything particularly with that right now. So we'll get the signs up. So that's the first part. So we'll have consistent signage throughout. The enforcement piece, if it gets out there, will be the next part of it.
Well, at the last meeting, before you left, Shannon Mudge from the committee came up to me and said, well, what could the committee do to help with parking enforcement?
Well,
or parking plan implementation.
Okay, well, let me just say that there is there's a spectrum of enforcement opportunities that could be done that range from volunteers going out and tagging cars on the irregular basis. And Bob Kiefer will be the first person to go to about tagging. Tagging them as far as being over parking too long. Mm-hmm. So that's one piece. That's the one end.
Are you
up
serious
to,
or joking?
No, I'm
serious. You're
serious. I mean,
that's not Bob.
We have looked at, and not so much tagging with the paint or anything, but we've got you don't need to write this down. We already have this in the parking plan. The enforcement spectrum goes from volunteers going out and keeping track of that, which we don't think is a good idea, all the way up to hiring Eugene with their cameras and their little drive-by things that gives us the ability to focus to get every single car that's out there within 2 hours. And you know, they do a two-hour tour, and it notes license plates, the position of the ear stem on the tire, so whether it's been rolled or not, and takes a picture, and also tells you if those things have outstanding warrants, permits, all sorts of things, because it's all wired back. And then it can write a ticket and just hand it out. And then the enforcement piece, so it's sort of like you have Eugene do all this stuff for our downtown. That's the far end of it, and it's very expensive to do that initially, but it pays for itself in the long term. Right now, we're only using, except for Planktown evenings, we're only using about half the spaces that we have in downtown. We have places where it is...
Can we just
Where it is true, there are problem parking spots because the owner two blocks down from her is parking in front of her place,
right,
and someone over the next two doors down from her is parking in his place. So there's a lot of users in the downtown
and
of those parking spaces, the long-term users, and they're the people who work downtown or own businesses downtown.
Well, the residents, because there's six residents in the building that I'm in, and I think...
There's no one's off-street parking for that.
No, and they... I mean, the street can never get clean because the one guy works a second shift, and so...
Yeah.
You know,
so there's some issues associated with that. And
right.
Part of what the enforcement will do will force them to park somewhere else over a period of time.
So I guess my question for this discussion tonight is, what can the, you know, are there things the committee can do?
I don't think you want to get in.
Is there anything the committee can do that can help move parking implementation forward?
When Courtney's ready to come back, this group would be one that could help review some of the options that she has and understand what that might be.
I think that's what it is. It's looking at what the options are and then advise staff and the city council on implementation. What is the first phases of that? That's the short answer.
You know, you'd be surprised how many people adhere to that two-hour, the existing two-hour signs. Yeah, right. No, I mean... Oh, I thought you were saying you too. Yeah, I mean, because I don't, and but you'd be surprised because a lot of my customers will come in and say, oh, are they, am I going to get ticketed? And I say... No.
So you shouldn't say that.
Well, if they're my customers, I'm not going to lie to them. I mean, if they're, you know,
when the word gets out that they're not enforcing. But the new signs are really bright and bold, and I think they might have that effect.
Yeah.
She said, bring the ticket to me, and I'll see what I can do about it.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a perfect answer.
Yeah. This time it's okay, but next time I can't help.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's move on to lighting.
Lighting is the big one, I think.
Yeah, lighting is the biggest one. That's what I hear.
So I have, there are two pieces of this as I see.
I didn't recognize you, John.
I know.
Okay, John.
There's two different aspects of this. One, Ryan is our, he'd give you a forceful and concise and wonderful description of the many things that he can prepare for, I think, what everyone's really aiming at, which is lighting on the corridor, what could be done to improve that for pedestrians. So I just have one other aspect, and actually this group would be perfect for the part that I'm looking at, in conjunction with a lighting expert. You have six applications for the facade improvements. As I understand it, two of them have got lighting as part of the facade improvement proposals, although they haven't been submitted yet, what Claire told me a couple days ago. And what Brian and I talked about, because he knows this gentleman quite well, he's a lighting engineer, among other things, I guess. And he's really good with illumination ideas. And so what we talked about briefly was, if you're going to do facade improvements and there might be lighting involved, let's have that lighting or at least some standards that will get us something on the private side, not on the public street side, but on the private side that could be spilling over onto the street side.
Now we're talking about codes.
What's that?
Now we're talking about codes.
Then, well, this would only be, if you will, talk about some preliminary guidelines, some ideas that might get you a range of color or illumination types or how far it might go out or not go out so it doesn't blind drivers, things like that. But things that would help guide either in all the lighting aspects of it, and I don't know what the terms are in those things, but that's one part of it. And the second part would be, given the variety of buildings that we have in some places where we may not want to spend a lot of money to put up a couple of luminaires, that's what they're called, luminaires out there, maybe we can get like the bank to do something on the street side because there's nothing on that wall. There's no lighting on that U.S. Bank side. Mm-hmm. And there's that whole half block that's got no lights at all. And when you're going down there, it's pretty dark at night. And so that would brighten up that side if the bank would just do something. So there might be some style for that bank, but on a residential building or on one of the older buildings, you want to have a different kind of style. He could suggest a couple of things that might be suitable for that building that might still fall in the guidelines and the funding that might be available for facade improvements. So kind of ideas to, before we, you end up with your forms and your codes, some preliminary things.
So this topic has the potential to be quite the football, and not just a political football. It's going to be a financial football, a political football. It's going to be a sales job on the street in terms of meeting business expectations and all of that. And the mayor wants something. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if the best thing that this committee could focus on initially, certainly in the first 3 or 4 months, is an evaluation of where the dark spots are, where the holes are. We could call them opportunities without quite bridging into the solution side of identifying opportunities, but being the reservoir, if you will, of the issue. And then when the mayor said, this is what I think we should do about the issue, she can pull out the data that we've got that says, you know, Karen shops the worst offender on the whole street. If we don't do anything about Karen, it doesn't matter what else we do. Or if the money guy comes to us and says, I've got $5, not $180,000, we can say, well, you need to spend that $5 on Karen's shop because she's the worst offender. So I wonder if because I know, because I'm on the committee, that the Main Street Design Committee is very interested in doing something on lighting also. And there's been discussions about them specifically carrying some of the ball, if you will, on the private side, on the non-right-of-way side. And so until all of those sorts of proper assignments get determined, the best work we could do is say, this is the tiger that we think we've got by the tail. Now, however the mayor and NETCO and Main Street wants to solve that tiger is fine, but this is what we think we've got. And that job could take 2.5 months for us to put together a 12-page document that says this is what the problem is.
Yeah, but we've got in one of our paragraphs in the design guidelines that we came up with for the FIP, we talk about like awnings with illumination, and we talk about you know, gooseneck lights, and so those guidelines are out there. And as far as the time frame for the FIP, and there's not a lot of funds. I mean, there's only $20,000, and I didn't realize there were 6 that were applying for lighting because Ted and I were in. No, I didn't think there was 6.
Two of the 6 have got lighting in their proposal.
Okay,
that's what I
think. Okay, so
I don't know what it is. I have no clue.
Well, we've seen the applications. We are not going to be, well, you may be, but there's going to be an independent group of design professionals who are going to award the money. And so they're going to be looking at it. So, and that's happening any time now because we had our first meeting, we had our first round, and then we had our second round. So I'm really anxious to see how that's all going to play out.
This sort of evaluation report, though, could go straight to the design review panel for the design committee for facade improvement, like you're talking about, for them to consider when they consider the applications. All of a sudden, they can be looking at the application and saying, oh, well, it says the 400 block's the one that's really got lighting problems, and here I have an application for the 400 block and for the 700 block, and I can only pay for one of them. Let's do the 400 block.
Okay. In reality, how quickly could we do an evaluation?
My question would be, has the city already done that an assessment of the lighting on the Main Street, Brian?
There have been a number of different assessments over time done by different groups. I don't have access to all of them, but we would probably locate some of them.
Because that could be something that whatever we already have in hand, we could study that and come back at our next meeting and look at it and say, What's the consistent piece without going out and reinventing the wheel?
Right.
Tom or Linda may be able to, John or Linda could perhaps recall, I believe Tom DeGruy was on it.
SRDC.
Yeah, SRDC did that. On did one. That's yeah. the one that I recall most recently. Yeah.
When Terry Leeser did that that one presentation, that was great. I mean, that showed just about everything. Yeah. And I think that would be a really good referral for us. And and that's when she encouraged people to leave their lights on in their businesses, which was a great recommendation. Yeah.
Trying to encourage them to inside light to shine out.
Yep. Right.
So what are your other things on the code piece that when you're doing your facade improvements and you eliminate, you have to actually turn them on? Should be
a
requirement.
That is, it's in our guidelines. It is. That you put them on a timer if you don't want them on all night. Mine are on all night. It's like...
But it's a safety thing.
What?
I talked to this lighting specialist and he says, well, that's really interesting. You'd like to leave them on all night from the inside shining out. But you realize that there's a state code that limits, you're supposed to shut them off because it's an energy saving device. Yep. I said, wait a minute. So if I put on some LEDs that have got like a tenth the wattage of like a 60 watt bulb, I've got to keep those off too. He's really sort of bumbled a little bit and he was like, hello? He said, well, that's really complicated. But we can figure out a way of making it work. Well, so I was thinking of safety issues. There's a lot of safety reasons.
Well, see, what we do is we get some lighting up, and then we get hit up with an energy crisis out there 5 years. So they tell everybody to turn the lights off, and they don't get turned on again. Yeah. So we go two cycles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen them several times.
Well, again, what can this committee do? What can you do? What can I do? What can you do? Let's just keep brainstorming.
Yeah.
We can come back and say, are any of these things realistic?
I think that would be good because there are probably places when you walk down the street at night now, it's a little different than it was when Terry did it. Mm-hmm. We have a lot more businesses downtown. We've got more with the lights on the window, the storefront, light to back, whatever it was called. They suggested framing windows with lights, and so we've got some of those, and I'm seeing a lot more of it on now. I think we can go down and find those caverns and supplement that and just make sure we got something. So here's what we need to do something on this street. The 400 block especially is one that's a tough one right now.
Well, wasn't some of the problems with the existing lights that are there, that was a sub-issue?
Yeah, there were three lights that they went out twice apparently to fix them. I don't know if they're on yet.
They are on. We had two independent problems. One is that due to our budget cuts, we didn't do a survey at night and get the information that the lights were out. So once that information came to us, because usually residents will let us know, but downtown there weren't the residents that usually let us know. So those of you who are down there,
sort of like it dark.
And it's dark, then please give us a call because we do want to know and we'll get that taken care of. That caused us then to make contact with Sub, and Sub did repairs on a number of the lights. It turned out that there had been a wiring fault that had occurred, and right there by the Taco Bell, you may notice where we've got the concrete sidewalk torn up. That was the repair, and that repair has been completed, and so those lights should be on unless the lamps burned out before the wire got broken. But that's only three of, like, we had like 16 lights that were dead down there. So it was huge.
Yeah.
It was a huge problem. So we're glad to have that element solved. Mm.
So are they're on now, all those 16 that you think? I mean, if we were to do something like this, should we wait or?
No. Now it'd be fine if you want to do another walkthrough. Yeah, definitely. And if you see any out, let me know. We'll get them fixed.
Brian, do you have suggestions for the committee?
Well, thinking about downtown, you have a perspective, and I have a different perspective that comes from my responsibility. That is, I have a system to maintain and operate, and I'm excited about the energy that everybody's got, no pun intended, about lighting. And we also were able to locate some empty conduit that was installed a number of years ago. And so we now have some additional opportunities for getting lighting in at a lot less cost and a lot less disruption, i.e. digging up trenches, making trenches, and having to put sidewalk back. And so with that backbone, we can place lights in a number of locations. And one of the questions that's going to come forward is, what do we want these lights to look like? What do we want to do with the lights we have? Because if we chose to, we could take those gray galvanized poles down and replace them with something else. And so this committee certainly would, I welcome their input on what that choice might be. I mean, you're going to take some light down, but then you're going to put light back up, potentially. Or do we want to just infill between what's there?
That'd be nice to have them be consistent and attractive.
Right.
That was interesting. I took a detour today that I don't normally go on, and it was because I was coming from Lane Forest Products back in, like, industrial, commercial, Catherine Street.
Olympic Street.
And I saw, wow, this curvy, I can't remember which one I was on because I got turned around, but they had, I thought, why do they have such nice lights on this street?
And they look like?
And they were like those black kind of old, I can't think
they're
of
acorn.
The,
yeah. Yeah.
Acorn.
Acorn,
yeah.
City forced the developer to pay for them, right?
Well, actually, the developer chose those poles because the option was a wood pole. And so they said, no, we want to do something nicer. And so don't go back at night because all the wires have been stolen from there.
Well, I was just impressed. It's like,
but
here's
the that is essentially the standard that the city has for a decorative choice on lights. It's same manufacturer and style that we have on Rose Park's path between the two finer parkways. Street lighting would be a little bit taller. We have some out in front of the Justice Center. Those are too tall, so we'll bring those down. We also have quite a number of them out in the River Bend vicinity. Again, because the developer there, Peace Health, in that case, chose to put the nicer poles in.
Are those a fairly reasonable cost?
The installation cost?
Well, the installation and the actual the product.
Well, in terms of the installation cost, we figure roughly $5,000 a pole, and then we have trenching, et cetera. So I'm hoping that we can get our work done for about $5,000 a pole because we have most of the conduit in.
And where's most of this conduit that you...
It's in the sidewalk, primarily on the north side of the street, because the existing streetlight system is primarily on the south side. So between those two conduit runs, we could probably do a pretty good job. In terms of operation cost, I wouldn't recommend the same type of fixtures. LEDs have really come a long way, and they are mainstream now. And so I would want to be putting in LED decorative fixtures. Downtown.
Keep the current load on your conduit.
And it reduces my electrical load so I can get more lights on the same conduit system because it's only so big and I can only stuff so much wire into it.
The ones along the Justice Center, those aren't LED, are they?
No.
Yeah.
No, we don't have any decorative LEDs presently.
Okay.
Those are metal halides, so they have the nice white look to them, just like the Cobra heads we have on Main Street right now.
Oh, nobody ever better take my yellow light. I love my yellow light. I feel like little Springfield. No, I'm so proud of Oscar. I should have sang for you guys. Yellow lights are shining bright in the heart of Springfield.
That's
the song.
I can add a couple things on the light. I mean, back when we had our consultants who we were paying a lot of money to, Randall Rambula, I asked them, our team, about, you know, lighting and types of fixtures and, you know, what's best. Should we stay with something really classic? And and they recommended, yes, staying with the classic, the ones we have, the acorn type in black, they recommended.
Right. Because
they just said, you know, people do trendy things and then they get tired of them in 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, plus the trendy things, you know, our architecture is so all over the board down here. And, you know, if we did something that's classic, it's timeless, and it'll go with whatever. But so, in reality, then, how soon can something like this happen?
I know.
So,
for example, if there was money available for a project, we could deliver it within a year. That would be very easy to do. Now, that seems like a long time. And it's potential it can be compressed, but a lot depends upon what I find in the conduit system that's about 20 years old and nobody's touched. So,
24.
So 5,000 times approximately how many would we need to do the whole?
Well, I think it's 5 plus 5, isn't it?
Well.
5,000.
I never should have mentioned 5,000.
Okay. I'm just trying to get ballpark big.
Right.
I mean, if somebody wants to do a fundraiser or, you know, if SRDC could be still interested in lighting, I don't know if they are. I mean, a couple years ago, they were ready to do big fundraising effort.
John, you usually carry a lot of paper around with you. Did you happen to bring the estimate I did for the downtown demonstration block?
I did not bring that with me.
Okay.
Well, I don't check my files, though.
Yes. There are lots of paper.
I mean, is it millions?
Yeah.
Well, okay. For a block, I think we were in the couple hundred thousand range.
Two maps of
you know, remember, I'm sorry I didn't bring my estimate, so I can't give you fairly precise numbers. But when I did, I looked at one block, which was here in front of the City Hall parking lot, the museum parking lot. And I believe that I placed about 6 luminaire poles. I had a number of benches. I had a number of trash receptacles, bike racks, the street furniture, planters as well. So all of that, I think, was in that couple hundred thousand dollar range. That included the design and the construction engineering.
What if we took the standards that are out there on the levee path and brought them in town, since they don't work anyway?
Well, actually, I've already ordered the removal of the fixtures because most of those were vandalized, as well as we lost the wire in there twice. And so we're going to refurbish those fixtures, and then we would have them available. And I've contemplated whether or not they would be a good choice down here.
Because
those are induction, which is also a fairly high efficiency fixture. The challenge with those particular fixtures, and I learned my lesson, is that they're acrylic globes.
Yeah.
And so they don't stand up to vandalism. And that's a lot of the problem that we had. Now, would we have that problem downtown? I suspect not.
Not as much.
But that's a risk.
Yeah.
Are there any, so for example, if you do the demonstration block, I mean, is there any money, even if you did one block's worth or half a block's worth, just to get them up there to let people see that it's happening? That's where people start losing faith in. They say, well, we hear this, but we're not seeing it.
Right.
And that's what I hear, right. You know, being down there.
Right.
And are there enough funds to just do a few just to kind of build some excitement for it?
But, you know, potentially we could put one or two fixtures and poles in right where the conduit ends. And we could do that. It wouldn't cost a lot of money. John's really the money man because he's the one who was going to provide some,
there's a program in downtown Eugene for $30,000. Maybe we could scrape off some of that.
There you go. So yeah, it really is a financial question. You're introducing a new idea that I hadn't contemplated, and that's just do a couple of fixtures and poles very inexpensively. And
when people see that and like it, then we'll start getting pressure
right.
on your council and them to
keep going. Yeah, and that's something that the mayor has publicly spoken about in different forums.
You remember that the two-way Main Street project that Courtney and Christy did, and they reported back, they came back and talked about a demonstration block where they do a number of improvements that will get closer to having all the stuff that we want in the downtown, not just lighting. But the survey came back and the top 4 things were lighting, and street furniture. And so you know everybody wants lighting of some sort, so that seems to be a priority, and it's certainly for the mayor. And so Brian's been trying to figure out how do we get a block or a block set. How much is it per block if we're going to do the entire block? And then you got 9 or 10, 7 of them.
Well, because to me, it's like we can put off, because you said that estimate for the City Hall parking lot included the street furniture. We can live without the street furniture for right now. We need the lighting. That's a safety issue. The street furniture actually is not always a good thing.
It's more of a nice to have rather than a safety thing.
If you don't have light, go ahead.
I've got a comment after all these other ones are. I don't want to take us too off of lighting, but I do want to mention that the people are now coming from Eugene into Springfield to go to Planktown, and every single one of them has said to me, "There's no bike parking." Mm-hmm. So in terms of like, just get one up. Right. Just get one up, and that's what made me want to say this now. I'm saying these are people that are coming from Eugene to eat and drink, and there is no bike parking, and the lighting doesn't help. People are like, I'm afraid to lock my bike there.
We talked about actually having a bike corral just outside the school on the Planktown side. Was it 4th Street? Fourth. Bart liked that idea, and I think that might be something that we bring forward.
People are locking their bikes to random stuff right now.
Yeah, somebody locked one to the street sign today.
When we finish the Middle Fork Path, you're going to see people riding their bike all the way from Clearwater over the top of the hill and wanting to come to Planktown for a beer.
Yeah.
That's what I'd want to do.
Wasn't Planktown required to do any bike parking on their own?
There's no space to put it in front of them.
That's true. Oh, because you had talked about that little pocket that U.S. Bank owns, that corner.
Yeah, downtown is a parking exception zone, so nobody's required to have any parking at all. I just found my estimate that John was supposed to bring. I used here an $8,000 per pole cost, and that wrapped in the wire and so forth. And for the demonstration block, I put eight poles in, and then I had some sidewalk repair. So combined, that was essentially $80,000 for it.
It's $10,000.
But that's before the conduit discovery, isn't it?
No.
Right? Oh, it's afterwards.
Oh. That's afterwards.
You still need wire in the conduit. So.
Right. It's even more the trenching.
Just a time check, 6:45. So more people had their hands up, I think.
My question.
What does this committee, can this committee help? Do you want to have subcommittees?
I think we have the opportunity to have Brian come back with a proposal and what's it look like. Us evaluate that, make a recommendation, and then we start asking for what's the possibility of getting some funds from the Urban Renewal District, CDBG, start making it a priority and make a recommendation to City Council. But I'd like to look at it.
Should there, as far as doing an evaluation, should we also make sure we get all that information, and in case another evaluation needs to be done, try and figure out what areas maybe have lighting now that did it before, so we can sort of get a sense of
what we want to walk the streets or get an idea.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Is just
volunteer to do that.
I mean, I'll go. I mean, it's up to the rest of you.
Right? If I may offer something, before you select the preferred location, let me take a fresh look at what the conduit system is, because I only have so many power sources. There are two power sources downtown, and so if we could get something that's close to those power sources, that would really drive the cost down for this very simple one or two pole type of idea. So that might drive our decision more than possible place to put them.
And the reason I mention that is just for us to get the feel of downtown.
Oh, sure.
Our starting point, that's all.
One thing that I'd like to say is the demonstration block concept scares me a little bit, because it's a little too close to halfway in between, and it's going to be a considerable amount of money, and that'll make building up enough money to do the entire thing that much further away. Whereas if we just did one or two poles, just to literally spice everyone's palate a little bit, and then held off until we could hit the home run and do all both sides of all eight blocks, I guess that's what I would strongly advocate for. I think if we do a demonstration block, people are going to be satiated for 6 years, and we'll lose a lot of momentum, and the monies will start getting routed to things that also need their Band-Aid, not to say it the wrong way, but I'd rather do one or two polls, and then, and maybe the bike shelter, obviously a different pot of money, and then start advocating or being at least the springboard for people to advocate for the home run. As much as that puts pressure on John and all of that, I completely understand that, but you throw half of a birthday party, you never end up throwing the whole party.
Just in regard to the bicycle shelters, we have businesses we're offering to get racks installed, and we're working on getting that accomplished with them. So I think that will calm that down. I think you could put your total emphasis on lighting.
I was going to ask, are there programs where people can either adopt a light fixture, so they can adopt a brick, so they can donate $1,000 or whatever it is to put one in, and maybe have their name on it?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Are there programs
that'd be really great.
That do?
Well, they do that for like
benches
yeah. and the street, like where people clean up the street.
Trash cans.
Because you might
be
Rotary Group or some other entity that wants to pool their resources to buy one, or
make a tooth block that goes on.
Is that something
on
that we would want to try and promote? Maybe the committee could organize? Or
how about advertising on them?
Just
in terms
of money. It sounds like our biggest need is for money.
Yeah, on Main Street we would not because ODOT would not permit us, but on the side streets that are city, that's an open question.
That could be an open question.
We couldn't do it on Main?
Correct.
No. It's a state highway that's owned by ODOT. We don't have control of the right of way. So we do what we can within it with their cooperation, but if they don't do that.
So we couldn't have private donation into a public fixture?
Well, you might
we
be
could.
Able to do that.
I don't.
But no, that's what I'm asking.
Not advertising.
What if we did a big program that said, you know, buy lights on Main Street or some whatever wonderful name we come up with?
You know, I think that's a great idea.
Light up the city.
That's how the first lighting got done. It was all private.
It's a
great idea.
It's a tax.
Springfield shall light the way. And those are the old lights.
You know, I bet you there would be a lot of people who would contribute.
With the donor's name on the...
Yeah.
It's good for them to take ownership.
I think that's a great idea.
I mean,
but not advertising.
Really got a few out of it. It could be a long-term program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. I love that idea.
Well, one of the ways you want to do that is I'm struggling with it just because a light pole isn't really sexy to me. But if the city or we had a way to tackle some other money from Urban Renewal or CDBG where half the cost was covered by the public sector and half the cost by the private sector and you got your plaque on. So if that pole cost me $4,000 instead of $8,000, I might get four other people together or a business together and we all will do that.
Let's get it out in front of our places. Yeah,
yeah. You know, that type of way. But what you do is you have an incentive there.
Right.
If we want to light the way,
right.
And you know the city or however we do that, we're going to get it part way. Yeah. So just my thought process is that I think people other than those businesses that are downtown, people that have a little passion for downtown, aren't going to find that as exciting. But if you start saying, "Hey, I get double my money,"
I think a lot of the residents of the Washburn district. Are there, you know, now that Planktown's open and there's so many more people that are walking over there and biking, like you said, I see them all trying to like lock their bikes. And I bet a lot of those people, and there's a lot of young professionals that have moved in, and I think we might be able to get some help from them. There's a lot of people that are very, very passionate about downtown. That aren't just people who are normally involved. So you see it. I mean, I think we all see it every day. I think that's a great idea.
I want to remind everybody we have 7 minutes.
Okay.
I think that's a good point. And if you said it was going to be LED lighting, which saves electricity, I think there'll be people that will say, yeah, I think I can help that out. And we get better lighting and safer downtown. I think that would be a plus. It's interesting, the Eugene program is looking at interior lighting that also provides ambient lighting out onto the street. Mm-hmm. And so they have grants between $1,400 and $2,700 to private people. They've got several stretches that they're describing right now. So it would be up to 14 applicants that will come in. So that's one way of doing it. When I heard that there was some facade lighting that might be included in that program, I was thinking, well, why don't we just set up a program for facade lighting? If we can't do the facades themselves, at least let's have some better lighting down there.
That'll get us started earlier.
Yeah.
The lights will be a long, rather long-term thing.
Yeah.
Main Street design. Except for maybe a couple of demos.
And it's just a matter of making sure it's coordinated with whatever sort of right-of-way concepts come out of this, and with a couple of NETCO, actually three design committee connections, four design committee connections.
So are there any actions that we need to organize right now, tonight?
The evaluation, should we do a walking tour and then...
you and I get to school.
I'll quaff at the... at the Planktown afterwards to digest the ideas that we come up with.
Yeah.
And then someone also needs to find whatever that last study or presentation from Terry Weezer.
Terry.
Does anybody know how to get access to that?
I think I'll check with Tom McGrew.
Yeah, because he helped present that, because that was presented at one of our early Main Street mixers, I believe, or somewhere. Was it here?
Well, I heard it at SRDC. I went one morning when they did the mixer, but they talked about it.
Well, I saw the actual video.
Video?
Yeah. You had a slideshow.
A slideshow.
I had to show up at some...
Yeah, you know what? It was at one of our real... No, it was at one of our real early Main Street mixers.
Yeah, Landon did one of those.
Yeah.
It was at Kelly Bride's office.
That's where this committee, I think, when we do things, we have enough continuity of people over the years. You know, some of these other groups kind of come and go.
I think I saw that.
But also, Brian, is there anything that the city has done in the years past about, you know, the overhead lighting and where there's gaps or anything that you guys have done from a more of a lighting professionals versus us walking by and saying, boy, that looks dark.
We did change out the Annie's preferred yellow lights for the white lights downtown with CDBG funds about 8 years ago, I'm guessing. We haven't done any formal analysis, though.
It kept me from doing illegal running of lights at the intersections.
Okay.
So do we want to set a day, an evening, to go do our lighting
walk? Up to the committee. Select an evening.
We need to do that and get a commitment, because otherwise, nobody will show up. So for Steve, right?
Well, I was not between the 1st and the 10th. I'll be in Guadalajara.
And are we talking about a daytime one or an evening
one?
No,
nighttime.
That's
true.
That was a dumb question.
Unfortunately,
the rom's
heavy air. It seems like maybe Thursday night works for most people, since this meeting's on a Thursday. So how many Thursdays are there after the 10th and before the 23rd?
Well, next Thursday we've got.
I don't have to be there, but I would like to be there.
May 16th?
May 16th.
It's going to be later in May, later in the evening.
I'm going to be doing this at 10 o'clock.
So how about next Thursday, which is May 2nd?
We have a committee meeting.
Till 9.
Well, we're meeting at the Planktown.
That's true.
Well, you won't be able to tell once you go inside anyway.
Well, we could meet after Planktown and then.
It's all dim.
After us.
That'd be a long meeting.
That's true. That is a long time.
That's a long time sitting in Planktown.
And you'll need to take a walk afterwards.
Yeah.
And then go back
and go back.
But again, if there's a subcommittee wants to do it, sets the time up and lets everybody know. If there's a core group that wants to do that, that'd be great.
I just thought while everybody was here, let's just make a decision instead of...
Well, you guys set a date. If not,
he's gone until the
10th. He's gone after the 1st.
So what about the 16th then? Because...
The 16th, but I can't promise an evening walk right now anyway.
Well, it'll have to be night anyway, so we wouldn't be able to make any of them.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to bed pretty regularly at 8 these days. So I'm sorry, I'm pregnant. So. There's a good reason. Good.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's like, does it have to be a Thursday night?
Nope.
Because I just realized I'm booked the 2nd and the 16th. So, and the 9th is the day before the art walk. And
Abigail, would you be willing to try to coordinate this?
Sure, sure. Yes. Should I throw out a couple dates?
Yeah. Doesn't have to be a Thursday.
Doesn't have to be a Thursday? Okay.
No.
Right. It's just, it has to be probably 8:30 or 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right.
So would we, are we looking to do it either after Steve comes back or like next week? Or, well, you would be leaving next week, so. How soon? Okay. You'd be here Monday and Tuesday.
I'm not going to be able to do anything until after the 8th of May. I've got
okay.
Budget.
And so should we aim for the 16th?
Yeah, that's a potential or that week.
Yeah, within that week? Okay.
Because 12th is Sunday, because it's Mother's Day. Week of the 12th.
Okay.
But I don't know that I'm available on the 16th.
And then how are you going to record what you do?
Yeah,
it's going to be a scribe, and you're going to somehow use a map.
Unless we sort of.
It sounds like there's
go
an existing document to look at to essentially update
the response. I'll talk to Tom and see what he's got.
Yeah,
maybe we can supplement that.
I think we're just
if we all get that existing document, and if it's like 400 blocks, there's three lights out or something like that, then we can mark off.
You can map a downtown. We can just walk down it.
We just get a good clear map and
like
then just
people take
mark
different sections. Yeah.
X's,
yeah.
We'll make a code on, off, whatever.
Okay.
We can put little dots on this, what's dark and what's not.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys know this, but A Street's going to get lighting. When is that, Brian? When is that project getting? Christie's project?
Should be in the next few months.
It's going to be lighting installed on A Street.
A and what?
On North A. Is there doing an overlay project?
Mill and Fifth.
So are we just doing the Main Street corridor, or are we going to do
just Main Street?
Okay. And as far as times, probably looking at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, it starts to get dark. Okay.
So we probably need to meet first and discuss it at
Planktown. Okay.
Discuss it at Planktown, and then we'll go take our walk. I know it's 7 o'clock. I just want to make a real quick announcement.
If you're done, then we're adjourned.
Okay. Art Walk Committee has put together this contest, and Linda helped with the public works side of things after I talked with Clayton, and Linda put it all, the guidelines. Okay, what it is it's called Show Us Your Bloomers, and it's going to be a contest for the Main Street business owners to put planters out in front of their businesses. And we are getting prizes from Jerry's, we hope, because it's on the flyer. No, I was assured by Jim Couples. Jim was part of this, and I said, Jim, I need a definite. And he said, don't worry, I'll make it happen. Okay, it's going out. So we have prizes for a second and third prize, $100, $50, and $25. And so they have to adhere to the guidelines that Public Works put out for us. And we're also, I went and talked to two nurseries. We're getting discounts if they want to use these nurseries. And it will be judged. We can't announce yet. It will be judged in June. During the art walk, and we're going to have some really couple great judges, and who are totally independent of this program. So I'm just getting ready. I just got the copy of the flyer. And by the way, this artwork, I said I would put a plug in for them. This artwork here, this Show Us Your Bloomers, was done by Mike, the sign guy. Yeah, because I said, draw me some bloomers with flowers coming out. And so he did. So, and then he just kind of put the flyer together. So this is hot off the press. So that's, hopefully we'll start seeing that. Start seeing planters in front of some of the buildings that don't have them.
Okay. So. Our next meeting is May 23rd. between now and then, John and I will talk to the school district, and we're going to set up a tour.
Yep.
And we'll have that all done before then. Anything else?
We're going to try and get the list of people that will go out.
The recruitment.
Recruitment for additions to the committee. Council may want to, Gene will probably want to look at that, you know, maybe run it past the mayor and the president of the council.
It has to go to the CCI.
And that too. Mm-hmm. But I look at those others first, then the CCI, just to be sure that we're moving in the right direction.
Okay, we're adjourned.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
For your event, Dan Jordan would take that role.
Oh, it was top 10.
Yeah. Wow.